The Senate will please come to order. And the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
We need a couple more senators for our quorum. If you're in your offices, please come down so we can get the calendar underway. A quorum is present. We'll post the colors. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Boquist. Our invocation today is from Carolyn Slider, Confederate Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indian Tribes of Coos Bay.
Can I have a little space? Thank you. I wanted to do a few little housekeeping things. That when we was up here last Thursday, which was the dedication of the nine flags of the tribes. It was a great day for the tribes, and it was an honor for all of us to be here and see it. And we are very pleased that the nine flags are flying on the Capitol grounds, which would be a common grounds now. And I would also like to thank Senator Metzke for Senate Bill 1078A that brought this to the flags, and was one of his projects, and thank all the legislative elected officials and the directors and staff people of the parks and recreation, and with our tribal members showing that we can all work together and have a goal. And this was the nicest goal that we can think of that could happen to us in your Oregon 150 year, in ours so many years before. So I want to thank. And I want to say good morning, and I'm glad that the senator got our names right. It's Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw tribes. And we left pretty early this morning, as Joanne Verger would know where Coos Bay is, and it's a long ways. And so we had an early start this morning. I will start with my prayer. Great Spirit, we are thankful that we can study the past and build on it, but keep focused on the present. Continue to seek the knowledge and wisdom of elders. Let us be open to new and innovative ideas. Never lose sight of our values and moral characters. Keep basic principles of respect, kindness, and grateful for the obvious of the sunsets and rainbows. Let us also remember the little things as well as the sunsets and rainbows. Give us joy to fill our hearts and to hear the laughter of the children. Great Spirit, we are grateful for today, and give us a new strength for our daily problems. We thank you in your name. Amen.
We have a special performance today from Doc Slider of the Confederated Tribes of Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siuslaw Indian Tribes. He's going to perform the song Grandfather on his flute. Carly Foote, Alyssa Faust, Samantha Diaz, David Carcamo, and Isabella Colnani. Thank you for coming today as guests of Senator Walker and serving your Oregon State Senate. Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like you to extend, courtesies to Riverview Elementary out of Lebanon. The leader is Sherry Wardlaw, and I'm not sure exactly where they are, but they're supposed to be here. So I.
There they are, in the back up there. Great. Welcome to your Oregon State Senate. Thanks for joining us today. Hope you have a good tour of the Capitol and get to know all the people that are listed up here so you can tell us why they're on the wall. Chair recognizes Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. It was my pleasure to have Carolyn Slider here this morning to give the invocation and her son, Don, who played so beautifully for you. I just want to say that Carolyn has done so much on the South Coast to bring the tribes and the communities together, and how much I have enjoyed working with her. She has really provided a lot of leadership and very, very consistent message for her tribe. So it was my pleasure to have her here today, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. And again, welcome to your Oregon State Capitol. Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that courtesies be extended to members of the Good Shepherd Altar Society and guests of the Good Shepherd Catholic Church from Sheridan. Pat Eckert and her husband Larry are here. Larry is a retired fire chief from Sheridan. Elsie Hale is here from Willamina, who is actually in Senator Verger's district. Ethel Hayes of Sheridan, Janae Shea and her husband David of Dallas, Mary Ridgway of Sheridan, Jan Cordy of Willamina, who I believe is in Senator Verger's district, Joyce Gerhardt, Pat Wilson, Jerry Exner and Teresa Heffernan are also here, and they're in the gallery to my right. If courtesies would be extended on behalf of both Senator Verger and I.
Thank you, folks, for coming here to your Oregon State Capitol. Courtesies of the Senate are extended to you, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you for coming. Further courtesies. Remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, the Speaker has signed Senate Bill 5558 and 562.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report number 98 was distributed to members May 18, and number 99 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. It is so ordered. Reports from special committees. I'm going to return to courtesies of the Senate. And members, would you please stand in honor of Mr. Bob Maxwell, Oregon's only living Medal of Honor recipient, up in the gallery to my right. And the chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, today, we are fortunate to be in the presence of someone of rare courage and valor, a member of the greatest generation and a World War II combat veteran, and the recipient of the nation's highest military award for sacrifice above and beyond the call of duty, the Medal of Honor, Mr. Bob Maxwell of Bend, Oregon. Mr. Maxwell is with us in the gallery this morning. Mr. Maxwell is the only living recipient of the Medal of Honor living in Oregon today. He is with us today as part of events hosted by Greg Warnock and the Oregon War Veterans Association in support of Senate Bill 449, which will have a hearing today to designate U.S. 97 as a World War II historical highway in honor of World War II veterans who trained in Oregon. Please also welcome Lieutenant Colonel Jack Sherman, who served in World War II during the Battle of the Bulge with 101st Airborne. He is joined by his wife, Phyllis. They are also here to support Senate Bill 449.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I would like to read you from a 1945 document. It is a citation from the United States Army. Rank and organization, Tech 5 grade, U.S. Army, 7th Infantry, 3rd Infantry Division. Place and date, near Besson, France, 7 September, 1944. Entered service at Larimer County, Colorado, birth Boise, Idaho. General Order Number 24, dated 6 April, 1945. Citation, for conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty on 7 September, 1944, near Besson, France, Tech 5 Maxwell and three other soldiers, armed only with 45 caliber automatic pistols, defended the battalion observation post against an overwhelming onslaught of enemy infantrymen in approximately platoon strength, supported by 20-millimeter flak and machine gun fire, who had infiltrated through the battalion's forward operating companies and were attacking the observation post with machine gun pistol, and grenade fire at ranges as close as 10 yards. Despite a hail of fire from automatic weapons and grenade launchers, Tech 5 Maxwell aggressively fought off advancing enemy elements, and by his calmness, tenacity, and fortitude, inspired his fellows to continue the unequal struggle. When an enemy hand grenade was thrown in the midst of the squad, Tech 5 Maxwell unhesitatingly hurled himself squarely upon it, using his blanket and his unprotected body to absorb the full force of the explosion. This act of instantaneous heroism permanently maimed Tech 5 Maxwell, but saved the lives of his comrade in arms and facilitated maintenance of the virtual military communications during the temporary withdrawal of the battalion's forward operating headquarters. The Medal of Honor is the nation's highest honor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. And Mr. Maxwell, and all of you gathered today, thank you for your service. Thank you for coming to your Oregon State Capitol, and thank you for giving us the honor to recognize you today. We'll now return to the regular order of business. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Republicans request a 15-minute caucus in the Republican caucus room.
Okay, so we have a request for caucus. It is 10:36. We will reconvene at 10:51. We will be in recess until 10:51. Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
here.
Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed following the order of reports from special committees and will resume under propositions and motions. So ordered. Propositions and motions. The chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, we have SB 106B in front of us for a concurrence vote. I'm asking the committee to concur with the amendments from the House and repass SB 106.
Senator Prozonsky has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 106. Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill went over to the House. They made a tweak to allow under the amendments from the House for tribes to seek diversion funds. This is one that we actually says that they allows the Youth Authority to provide funding for federally recognized Indian tribes in Oregon for services at risk tribal juveniles, allows tribes to seek these funds. So it's a tweak of what we sent over. It's a good fix, and I ask for your support in repassing the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 106 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 106, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur on the House amendments that were and repass Senate Bill 244.
Senator Prozonsky has moved that the Senate concur in House amendments and repass Senate Bill 244. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this one here implements the increase in the size of the Board of Governors in 2011 rather than 2010. I assume this is to allow them additional time to make sure that that can have be a small, smooth transition. It does restore provisions relating to the prohibition of soliciting as a personal injury attorney for those type of claims. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? If not, those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in House amendments and repass Senate Bill 244 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
No.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Burdick.
Senator Burdick.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
No.
Gerard.
No.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
No.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Winters. Voting no. Atkinson. George. Gerard. Cruz. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 244, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Chair recognizes Senator Prozonsky.
Thank you, Mr. President. The last of our concurrence today, I move that the Senate concur with House Bill or the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 380.
Senator Prozonsky has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 380. To your motion.
Mr. President, this bill here just expands who would be able to be eligible to have electronic transmission of testimony in a case. It does still require both parties to consent, but instead of just being for expert witnesses, it could be any witnesses so long, again, as you have consent from all parties. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there further discussion? If not, those who are of the opinion the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 380 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 380, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures. Third reading of Senate measures. First reading of House measures. Second reading of House measures.
HJM 3, urging Congress to increase funding and eligibility for fee basis payments. HJM 8, urging Board of Governors, United States Postal Service, and Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee to create postage stamp commemorating 100th Infantry Battalion and 442nd Bridge General Combat Team of the United States Army for service during World War II. HJM 12, urging Congress to enact legislation increasing veterans' access to health care. HJM 21, urging Congress to change funding to veterans' health care. House Bill 2163, relating to military justice. House Bill 2165, on Oregon National Guard. House Bill 2205, on civil penalties imposed by Child Care Division. House Bill 2207, on Central Background Registry. House Bill 2613, on the provision of utility services. House Bill 3236, on immunizations.
Pass to calendar. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Memorial 20, urging Congress to enact legislation concerning Medicare reimbursement rates.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Measure 20 speaks to the difficulty that we're all going to be facing as a state in the very sure future with a difficulty in the reimbursement rates from physicians seeing Medicare patients. Oregon is one of six or seven states that has the lowest rates in the United States. You are going to see your constituents having more and more difficulty accessing physicians. You will see more and more physicians not seeing Medicare patients. This urges Congress to change the reimbursement rate for primary care physicians. I know we don't have any control over that at the state level, but this urges Congress to make a change that's been necessary for the last 20 to 25 years. I urge your aye vote in HJM 20. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final adoption of House Joint Memorial 20. Those who are of the opinion the memorial should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Winters, 28 ayes.
House Joint Memorial 20, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5030, relating to financial administration of Oregon Medical Board.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5030 is the budget bill for the Oregon Medical Board. The Oregon Medical Board is responsible for the licensure and regulation of the practice of medicine in Oregon. The board consists of 12 members who are appointed by the governor. The Joint Committee in Ways and Means approved another fund's budget of $9,823,638.39 positions, 38 FTEs. The approved budget is an 11% increase from the 07-09 legislatively approved budget. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the following packages: a package to address the technology and business continuity needs of the board, a package to increase the investigative tools of the board, including the establishment of one full-time operations and policy analyst 2 position to address the workload specific to the investigations and compliance division, a package to increase the board's performance improvement, a package to address the workload within the board's health professionals program, including the establishment of a one full-time office manager position, and a package to fund the meetings of the health professionals program and members' expenses. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the agency's performance measures with the addition of KPM 9. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5030.
Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5030. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Whitsett, 21 ayes.
House Bill 5030, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill. Oh, Chair recognizes Ferrioli. Mr. Senator Ferrioli, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, for a vote explanation.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. This my no vote on the previous bill is to express my frustration on the fact that what we're seeing on the floor is budgetary increases with other funds' budgets. It's as if the other funds' budgets somehow exist in a world devoid of reality. We have a reality in Oregon. It's the highest unemployment since 1929. We have economies that are ailing, and we have a huge need for resources, and yet we see this continuous march up of other funded budgets. So, Mr. President, I'm happily voting no on the other funds' increases. Thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity to make this vote explanation for the record.
Thank you, Senator. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 5031 of the Financial Administration Oregon State Board of Nursing, declare emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Monis Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the Board of Nursing, Oregon Board of Nursing bill. It's the budget bill, and the board oversees licensing and certification of registered nurses, of which I am a licensed practical nurse and a certified nursing assistant that practice in Oregon. The board's authority extends to investigation of complaints and a nurse monitoring program for individuals with substance abuse or mental health issues. The agency is funded by revenue generated from application and license fees. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved an other funds budget of over $12 million and 50 positions. The approved budget includes an information technology infrastructure package, a package to continue four positions approved by the 2007-09 legislature, and adds an IT support position as limited duration and a compliance specialist two position in the nurse education program. The approved budget includes a fee increase to fund these positions, and I know our good senator from John Day did state that we are increasing other funds. I want you to know that my renewal, my license costs $105 for 2 years. That's really very little, and it will increase to $140 for 2 years. That is still a very low license fee. Our boards do an excellent job with very minimal money that we provide them. This fee increase will raise approximately $2.4 million in additional revenue, and any revenue over and above that will be put towards the ending balance so that the board will not have to come forward with a fee increase in the 2011-13 biennium. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of House Bill 5031, and so do I.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Very briefly, I was a no in committee. I have changed my mind, and I think if there ever was a committee that needed an increase, it is this one, and I will be voting yes for the fee increase. You have to weed out the bad apples, especially in healthcare, and I think in this particular commission we have failed to do so. So I will be a yes. And, Mr. President, I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I'm still technically married, and my wife is a registered nurse.
Thank you, Senator. So on the same thing, the chair would like to declare a potential conflict of interest because my wife also was an RN. We'll pay that fee. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 5031. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett. 19 ayes.
House Bill 5031, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2164, relating to tax subtraction for compensation received by a member of Armed Forces of the United States.
Chair recognizes Senator Haas.
Mr. President, currently our military's active duty pay earned outside of Oregon is fully deductible. However, pay earned inside the state is limited to a maximum subtraction of $6,000. In 2008, the Oregon Department of Revenue implemented a temporary rule to address this. The rule included income from weekend drills, annual training, summer camp, and special school attendance and other battle assemblies as part of active duty pay. And all this bill does is codify that rule. It, in addition, sends a message to our brave men and women that all of your service is valued. The bill applies to all tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2009.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2164. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2164, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2168, with 911 communications.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Okay, I just have to find my bill. Thank you. And it's short. So House Bill 2168 updates the laws governing 911 service. The bill removes language that is outdated and redundant, and it will not affect emergency services. This bill passed the House and Senate Judiciary Committees unanimously. It has no revenue impact, no fiscal impact. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2168. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2168, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2176, when the Advisory Committee advises Director of Veterans Affairs.
Chair recognizes Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a small bill that changes something very small in many ways, but also speaks to something kind of sad in our society right now. The bill eliminates two minor requirements for the appointment of the Governor's Veterans Affairs Advisory Committee at the Oregon Department of Veterans. It removes the word war as far as a veteran who can be on the board. But it also says that we no longer have to have necessarily a veteran from World War II or a veteran from the Korean War. And unfortunately, we are having a smaller and smaller group of men and women to pull from the Korean War and the World War II veterans due to their aging and their loss. So this is a very simple bill. It changes these two things, but I think we should remember as we pass this bill and we change this requirement that we're seeing a loss of the greatest generation, that we're seeing a loss of people from the Korean War and from World War II as they're no longer able to work on boards such as this, and we lose them in our society. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2176. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montes-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, 28 ayes.
House Bill 2176, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2210, relating to State Board of Agriculture membership.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. The people of Oregon know the benefit, the public benefit members bring to voluntary boards and commissions. And House Bill 2210 is a small statutory modification that helps clarify who can serve as a public member on the Oregon Board of Agriculture. Currently, this public member is restricted from being actively involved in the agricultural industry. The current State Board of Ag believes that this is too restrictive and may leave otherwise well-qualified volunteers out of the pool of potential public member candidates. A strict or too narrow reading of the current statute could preclude nearly anyone from public member status on the board, and it is unlikely that a food processor or a farmer's market representative could serve as a public member under a strict reading of the current law. This is clearly contrary to good public policy. So this bill was amended in the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee to ensure that we had a broad-based State Board of Ag that represents the diversity of our states and our products. House Bill 2210A provides the clarity necessary to allow the intended board diversity, and I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2210. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes-Anderson. Montes-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, Bonino, Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer. 19 ayes.
House Bill 2210, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2249, alcohol beverage permits.
Chair recognizes Senator Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oregon law requires servers who mix, serve, or sell alcohol by the drink in a licensed business to have a service permit issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the OLCC. OLCC has the statutory authority to refuse to issue a service permit to applicants If the applicant is excessively using alcohol or controlled substances, has been convicted of violating any federal, state, or local liquor laws, is incompetent, or physically incapable. Current statute also prohibits applicants from making false statements on their applications. House Bill 2249A clarifies that the OLCC may refuse to issue a permit or revoke or suspend an existing permit if the individual makes false statements to the agency. House Bill 2249A also changes the service permit expiration date to 5 years after completion of alcohol server education course required for the permit. I ask for an aye vote, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading. Final passage of House Bill 2249. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bottomici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, President Courtney, excuse, Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2249, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2269, with extradition.
Chair recognizes Senator Brzozinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2269A has come out of your Judiciary Committee. This bill here is basically going to let the presumption of extradition, well, it presumes that if a person is being extradited, that it will have occurred, and if it occurs within 90 days of the date the defendant has been delivered to the agent of the state, that has been presumed to be conducted with all practical speed. Specifically, Mr. President, what we're trying to do is make certain that when someone comes into the possession of the state of Oregon, even though it may be through an agent such as a U.S. Marshal, that once that person is in their possession, then you start the clock and you have 90 days to get that person back into the state to be considered within, let's say, all practical speed as required.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading. Final passage of House Bill 2269. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Yes. Bates. Aye. Bonamici. Aye. Boquist. Aye. Burdick. Aye. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2269, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2273, the enforcement of child support obligation by suspension privileges.
Chair recognizes Senator Brzozinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2273 also came out of judiciary. This one came out on a 4-0 vote. This bill is basically going to allow for those who have a license suspension under some provision to be applied to all support enforcement matters when child support payments are in arrearage, not just ongoing cases. The reason this bill is before us is because the federal government requires license suspensions in these type of cases. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't support this bill today for a couple of reasons. First, I don't believe there's a nexus between driver's license suspension and child support collection. I just don't. And second, DVM often takes, in Oregon at least, often takes a good deal of time after agreements have been made and after the Department of Justice has lifted the suspension or lifted the request for a suspension of a driver's license. DMV may take up to 3 months to actually reinstate that driver's license. In those cases, the person, particularly in the rural area, those people are unable to make a living because they can't drive. They can't get to their place of work. In one particular instance, I have a constituent who has been struggling with the state of California and Oregon in child support for 16 years. This is a good guy. I've known him for years. Two marriages, his first marriage, these children are 28 and 29 years old, live in California. He's been unable to have any bank account that he gets his garnisheed. He's been struggling to keep his license for 16 years. Our office was able to help him here in the last couple of weeks, and it turns out that he doesn't even owe child support. The state of California owes him $12,000. Nonetheless, he's been through 16 years of difficulties trying to sort this thing out between the state of California and the state of Oregon. I was pleased that our office was able to help him, but it's unconscionable that he went through 16 years of that kind of distress for no purpose. So I'll be a no vote. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not Senator Przanski, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
Question now rises on third reading. Final passage of House Bill 2273. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przanski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, voting no. Atkinson, George, Whitsett. 25 ayes.
House Bill 2273, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2274, with referral of support obligations to Department of Revenue.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2274 passed unanimously out of the Senate Judiciary Committee with one excused and out of the House Judiciary Committee with two excused. This bill would allow the Department of Justice or a district attorney to request that the Department of Revenue collect past due child support payments from a parent when the child in question is in close custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. Currently, the federal government pays two-thirds of the cost for children receiving support enforcement. The state of Oregon pays the other third. If an obligor owes child support and fails to pay it, Oregon has a right to take steps to collect that payment even when the child is in the custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. However, Oregon does not have the right to keep the state income tax refund as it would for parents whose children are not in the custody of the Oregon Youth Authority, and this bill would remedy that. Colleagues, child support payments for children who are in the custody of Oregon Youth Authority are an important source of revenue that the state uses to offset the cost of care for their children. I urge you to join me and 59 members of the House of Representatives in voting aye on House Bill 2274. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2274. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer an aye. As their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bonamici. Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist,
go on.
Burdick,
aye.
Carter, Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder, Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Hass,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Montes Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, not answering, Boquist, President Courtney, excused, Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2274, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2278, with judgment remedies for child support.
Chair recognizes Senator Dingfelder.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I am here to talk to you about House Bill 2278, which lengthens the life of judgments for awards of child support. Currently, these judgments expire after 25 years. This bill increases this limit to 35 years. The current 25-year limit sometimes prevents the state of Oregon from fully collecting outstanding child support payments. So, colleagues, the extension of the statute of limitations by 10 years represents a broad compromise among the stakeholders and will help ensure that support payments are properly paid. This bill has minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact. And for all the reasons that I stated, I ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2278. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer ayes or names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney. Excuse, Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2278, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2304 on the corporate mergers.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Colleagues, House Bill 2304 comes from Committee on Judiciary. No revenue, no fiscal impact. Do pass. Unanimous vote. It is a short-form merger bill. Allows a company that owns 90% of the shares to notify shareholders no later than 10 days after the merger occurs rather than 30 days before. A short-form merger is a merger between a subsidiary and a parent corporation that controls almost all of the shares and does not require the consent of, or vote of the subsidiary shareholders. In other words, allows a 90% shareholder to buy out a minority shareholder by simply notifying the minority shareholders of the buyout. This will bring Oregon in line with the Model Business Corporate Act. Thank you.
Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2304. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George. Girard.
No.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
No.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, Winters, voting no, Atkinson, George, Girard, Cruz, Metzger, Morissette, Morse, Whitsett, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2304, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2308, the discharge of state fiduciary from personal liability from inheritance tax.
Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Mr. Chair, currently when somebody leaves this world and goes to the next, many times they leave an estate behind. That they can, they want to pass on to their children and their grandchildren. Currently, you can file the final federal estate tax and get a release from the IRS, which will release the funds so that grandchildren who are sitting there waiting to pay tuition or needing some of those assets that their grandparents left to them, they can get access to them. Unfortunately, right now, though, Oregon does not have that statute, and because in many cases you're not filing a federal estate tax return anymore because you have to have an estate of more than $3.5 million, whereby in Oregon you only have to have an estate of $1 million, those funds never get authorized to get released. The tax return is never finalized, the estate is never finalized, and all the assets can be released. So, the purpose of House Bill 2308 is to provide fiduciaries with some comfort that the matter is settled. It will require the Department of Revenue to issue a closing letter if the estate requests one, using the same basic concept as applies to the Internal Revenue Service. Basically, the department will have 18 months after the request for a closing letter to review the return and determine if it wishes more information. If the department does not believe further investigation is needed, it must issue the closing letter. House Bill 2308 will provide fiduciaries with needed certainty that they may safely distribute estates to the beneficiaries and will promote a more streamlined system for reviewing inheritance tax returns. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2308. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, Winters, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2308, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Telfer, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to declare a potential conflict.
Thank you. Please proceed.
I prepare estate tax returns and serve in a fiduciary capacity for many clients.
Thank you. Your conflict will be noted for the record. Also noted for the record, Senator Telfer did buzz in prior to the vote, and I did not call on her. So your conflict before the vote is now noted. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 2310, Modification of Protective Order under Family Abuse Prevention Act.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2310 comes to us from the Family Law Section of the Oregon State Bar. It passed unanimously from Judiciary with one excuse, received 60 aye votes in the House. This bill expands the court's authority to modify certain terms of an existing restraining order under the Family Abuse Prevention Act if there's good cause shown. Under current law, once a restraining order is final, the court's authority to modify the terms of the order is limited to custody and parenting time terms only. But the needs of families, particularly families in stress, change over time, and sometimes parties may have a good cause to seek modification of other terms of a restraining order. For example, if a restraining order has been entered and then a petitioner has been getting harassing phone calls, they may need to request a modification to prohibit that type of conduct, or they may need to request a modification in order to move back into a home that a petitioner has vacated. This legislation provides specific authority needed to address the changing safety needs of families and to provide for changed circumstances. It's narrowly tailored to prevent abuse of the process. There must be good cause shown. And I urge your aye vote, colleagues, on House Bill 2310A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2310. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer.
Senator Telfer, we didn't understand your vote. Senator Telfer? Thank you.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. President Courtney. Excused. Carter, 20 ayes.
House Bill 2310, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2311, the service legal documents.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, House Bill 2311 also comes to us from the Family Law Section of the Oregon State Bar. Most stalking orders and orders under the Family Abuse Protection Act bar the respondent from contacting the petitioner, among other ways, in writing or through third parties. When a respondent files a legal pleading in a court, for example, a dissolution proceeding or a modification request, by statute and court rule, the respondent must serve a copy of the legal documents on the petitioner. Even though this service is done by a third party, it can be found to be in violation of the stalking or restraining order. There have actually been instances where a respondent who's exercising the right to file a legal proceeding and serves that on petitioner as required by law has been found in violation of the order. House Bill 2311 creates an exception to clarify that legitimate service of process is not conduct prohibited by a restraining order. I urge your aye vote on House Bill 2311. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2311. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call a roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin. President Courtney. Excuse, Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2311, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2353, the special meetings shareholders.
Chair recognizes Senator Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2353 comes out of your Judiciary Committee on a 4-0 vote. What this bill is going to do, it's going to limit the authority for shareholders and publicly traded corporations to call special meetings. It does, in fact, define publicly what a traded corporation is, and it applies to special meetings on or after the effective date. Specifically, Mr. President, what this is attempting to do is having corporations being tied up in these adverse takeovers attempts, and this is a means to limit that type of conduct. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2353. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. Aye. George. Aye. Gerard. Aye. Hass. Johnson. Aye. Cruz. Aye. Metzger.
No.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Aye. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. No. Schrader. Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, President Courtney. Excused, Carter, voting no, Bonamici, Dingfelder, Metzger, Rosenbaum, 25 ayes.
House Bill 2353, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2360, bill in trust.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2360 comes to your Committee on Judiciary. No revenue, no fiscal impact. Provides that only the last four digits of a person's Social Security number need be provided in trust-related proceedings. This is an ID theft bill. The bill responds to concerns raised about possible identity theft in trust documents. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2360. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters.
Go ahead. Oh, Senator Winters. Both sides.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin.
Senator Devlin.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney. Excuse, Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2360, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2554, in definition of vulnerable user in public way.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2554B comes to you from the Committee of Business and Transportation. Colleagues, the penalties for reckless driving provide additional penalties if the reckless driving contributed to an accident or to the serious physical injury or death of a vulnerable user of a public way. The basic violation is a Class B violation, $360 maximum penalty. If an accident is involved, the violation is a Class A violation, $720 maximum penalty. If a serious physical injury or death of a vulnerable user of a public way is involved, the penalty can include a fine up to $12,500, community service, and loss of driving privileges. Currently, vulnerable user of public way includes pedestrians, persons confined to wheelchairs, highway workers, animal riders, bicyclists, skaters, and open farm equipment without enclosed cabs. To protect operators of all farm equipment out on public roads, HB 2554B expands the definition of a vulnerable user of public way to include any farm tractor or other implement of husbandry, whether it has a cab or not. We may not be able to prevent reckless driving, but HB 255-B will help make sure the penalty is appropriate.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this bill is a result of a fatality that happened in my district involving a piece of farm equipment that was driven. It's a good bill. Representative Springer and the Farm Bureau did a good job putting it together, and I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. Declare a potential conflict of interest. When I'm not up here, I drive those implements of husbandry on a daily basis on public roads.
Thank you. Your conflict is noted for the record. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2554. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montezinerson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney, excused, Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2554, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2583, Linda Boats.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HB 2583 comes from the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources, prohibits launching of a boat into waters if the state prevents launching a boat into the waters of the state. The boat has visible aquatic species on an exterior hull or an aquatic evasive species within the interior parts of it. It does require the Marine Board to provide information to the public on rules that are adopted so they know what's going on. This bill protects invasive species, protects us from invasive species entering Oregon rather than costing Oregon millions of dollars to get rid of those species in the future. Simple examples are the mussel and the milfoil, which we heard in committee. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2583. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz.
Senator Cruz.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, President Courtney, excuse, Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2583, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2911, related to disposition of property.
Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Mr. President, colleagues, House Bill 2911A comes to you from your Committee on Consumer Protection. According to current law, when someone is renting a storage unit and becomes delinquent on payments, the owner of the unit has a lien. After the passage of a certain amount of time and notification to the renter, the owner can sell the contents of the unit to pay the delinquent bill and other appropriate expenses. If there's a balance, under current law, the owner keeps the funds. This is inconsistent with current other laws governing similar situations, for example, unclaimed property in safety deposit boxes. The Office of the State Treasurer worked with the bill's sponsor and with the Self-Storage Association to draft the bill you see before you to remedy this inconsistency. House Bill 2911A is the product of that discussion. It declares that after the owner has been compensated for back rent and reasonable expenses, any balance of the proceeds of a sale are transferred to the Department of State Lands to be held as part of the unclaimed property program. Colleagues, there was a question raised about Section 5B of the bill that prohibits the owner or relative from keeping property that is subject to disposal. And we have a clarification letter from the Office of the State Treasurer clarifying that if the property is under $100, for which there needs not be a sale, or if the property remains in the possession of the storage unit owner because there were no bids at the sale, that is a disposition, and that means that the property owner cannot keep that. It does not, however, prohibit the unit owner or affiliate or relative from submitting a bid for a fair market value at the sale. So I wanted to clarify that portion. This bill is not intended to forbid the owner from submitting a bid on the property at a sale. Colleagues, this bill passed the House floor on a vote of 55-4. It's a fair and needed fix with little opposition, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no in committee. I have some concerns with the bill, but my biggest concern was the way the bill was drafted. It would prohibit, the way I viewed that the bill was drafted, I believe that it would have prohibited employees or family members of a storage unit owner to go to a third-party auction house where products were being sold and bid on it, which would create a nightmare in potential prosecutions under the bill. So I brought this up with the State Treasurer's Office after I voted no on the bill in committee, that this was my biggest concern. They have written me a letter dated May 18th, which the carrier referenced. And I'm going to read an excerpt from, if I could, Mr. President. It is the State Treasurer's reading and understanding that this section does not constitute a prohibition on owners or their families or employees from placing bids at an auction provided for in Section 1, Subsection 4. They go on to explain how this does not apply to people who take, if a storage unit takes a product, just let's say, for instance, the Woodburn auction or some other third-party auction house, from them then showing up at that third-party auction house and bidding for it in an open bidding format. I was very concerned that the language is confused. Obviously, I would have liked to change this, but I understand the constraints of the time that we have in the legislative session, and so I'm changing my vote from a no in committee to an aye on the floor, and I'm going to submit this letter from the State Treasurer's Office as a vote explanation for my change, and this is the only reason I'm changing my vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Girard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was a no in committee, and I will remain a no. I think this is an atrocious bill, and it's a bad bill for two reasons. First of all, it's a money grab by the state. What happens is when they foreclose, 95% of the units that they foreclose on, they lose money. There is a very small number that they make money on. The state is going in and cherry-picking those very small numbers and pocketing the money for themselves. What happens is after the owner, when he forecloses on those units, he has to, for 2 years, keep the money aside. And if it's claimed, then he would give that money over to the people that had the units. This is a money grab so that the state on those units that don't go claim can pocket the money. That's argument number one. Argument number two is exactly what was brought out, lines 8 through 10, on the back of this unit. This bill has not been cleaned up. The owner, an employee of the owner, an affiliate, or relative of the owner, or an associate, or relative of an employee, may not acquire directly or indirectly property that is subject to disposal under this section. That's very clear. The people that work for you, their relatives, if they bid in an auction, cannot do that legally under this section. And I don't care what the state treasurer says. He's not the one that's going to be prosecuting this. This is a bad bill.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not Senator Bonamici. You wish to close.
Just briefly, Mr. President. Colleagues, I do want to point out that there is a difference between disposal and sale under the bill. Disposal has to do with other sections, not sale. I put on the record, and I know the senator from Sherwood is going to put on the record that interpretation of the bill. And also want to make the point, finally, Mr. President, that this is intended to apply only when there's a windfall. After the storage garage owner has received all the money needed to satisfy the back rent and all expenses. Any amount above that, colleagues, is unclaimed abandoned property, and it should be treated just like other unclaimed abandoned property and transferred to the Department of State Lands for safekeeping for claims from the rightful owner eventually. And I urge your aye vote, colleagues, on House Bill 2911A. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question now rises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2911. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson. Johnson.
Senator Johnson, go on.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. President Courtney. Excused. Carter. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. Gerard. Johnson. Cruz. Morse. Nelson. Starr. Telfer. Whitsett. Winters. 17 ayes.
House Bill 2911, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair recognizes Senator Schrader under the order of courtesies.
Thank you. I'd like to have consent to return to the order of courtesies. I do. Colleagues, today I have visitors from Lee Elementary School from my hometown of Canby. There are 30 young folks in the back of the gallery here, and their teacher is Kelly Turncott. So welcome today, and happy to have you here.
Thank you, Senator, and welcome to your state capital. Hope you enjoy your day. We'll now return to the regular order of business under the order of third readings, and the clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2953, the limited requirements.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Colleagues, House Bill 2953-A comes to you from your Committee on Business and Transportation. Contracting agencies, while choosing the lowest responsible bidder on public improvement contracts, determine whether a bidder has met the minimum standards of responsibility. Responsible bidder criteria include financial, material, equipment, facility, and personnel resources necessary to meet all contractual responsibilities. House Bill 2953-A adds to responsible bidder criteria by requiring that bidders show that they have licenses required for the work, worker compensation coverage, and insurance and amounts required in the solicitation documents.
Further discussion? If not, the question now arises. Third reading and final passage of House Bill 2953. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Gerard.
Gerard. Gerard.
Is he on
the floor? Yes. Hass. Johnson. President Courtney. Excuse. Carter, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2953, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the last bill.
House Bill 2956, for the Interstate Bridges.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 2956 targets construction work on bridges between Oregon and neighboring states of Washington and Idaho. House Bill 2956 requires that requests for proposals and invitations to bid for construction, reconstruction, purchase, rent, lease, or acquisition of interstate bridges contain provisions related to environmental protection, worker safety, and the employment of apprentices. House Bill 2956 also requires that preference be given for procuring products and materials fabricated in Oregon or Washington for bridges between the states of Washington and Oregon. House Bill 2956 also requires that preference be given for procuring products and materials fabricated in Oregon or Idaho for bridges between the states of Oregon and Idaho. Mr. President, came out as a unanimous vote out of committee and 51-0 in the House.
Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of House Bill 2956. Those who are of the opinion the bill shall pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
I know.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, President Courtney, not answering, Morissette.
Senator Morissette on the floor. Senator Carter, how would you vote? Senator Carter, would you like to vote? Senator Carter, would you like to vote on this bill?
Aye.
Thank you. Senator Morissette, off the floor. Okay. I guess he's absent.
Absent. Morissette, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2956, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 840, sub 3, committee referral list number 119 was distributed to members May 18. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Announcements. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Again, there is no Democratic caucus at noon, no Democratic leadership meeting at noon. As always, we are always efficient and always on time. And we will be caucusing this evening at 5:30.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Mr. President, the Republicans will caucus immediately after the floor session, so please, members, get your lunches and come to caucus. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Since Democrats are on time and under budget, we will be able to enjoy the sunshine today. Take your lunches outside. Thank you.
Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, May 20.